Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you back yet again to another jam-packed episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, we will begin this week with our first story coming from one of your new websites or newer websites, ClimateGate.tv. And we do have an amount of news to go over here, and I'll just quickly run down just the breakdown and hand it back to you, James, to kind of flesh out the story here. This week's release of emails from the climatologists at the heart of the original ClimateGate scandal was nothing like the last one, when some anonymous insider leaked out the original batch of emails and notes in the 2009 scandal. It took weeks for the incident to gain any traction at all in the mainstream media, and even then it took several more weeks before any serious consideration at all was given to the matter in the mainstream media. This time, serious consideration, or rather this time, the leak is being covered prominently and promptly by The Guardian and other big publications. Of course, they're already trying to downplay the significance of this massive data dump and trumpeting the usual ClimateGate investigations exonerated the scientist tune. But at least they've already confirmed that these emails are indeed real. And whereas it took several weeks for a searchable database of the 2009 emails to emerge, one has already emerged in the recent leak, and it can be found at FOIA2011.org, FOIA2011.org. And James, we will provide some of the background and the context and even some other mainstream media takes on what is being coined and called ClimateGate 2.0. James.
Well, that's right. They say lightning doesn't strike twice, but here is proof to the contrary, because obviously this is incredible. And it comes right on the eve of the major world climate conference that we were just talking about in Durban. And last time, of course, in 2009, it was just before the Copenhagen conference, which really had a lot of political steam behind it and still had the momentum of all of those years of fear-mongering over this non-scare, this hoax perpetrated by the UN approved scientists. And in 2009, when it came out, it really did start to derail that agenda in a major way. And it did, as I said in that article, it took weeks for it to come out originally, but this time it's really this second leak, this new leak of emails, is coming out in days. And I haven't had a chance to really dig deep into these archives yet myself, but I have gone through some of the quotations that are being bandied about and that have been singled out, even by whatever person or persons leaked it. They created a little readme.txt file that explained a little bit about what they're doing and why, and some of the interesting emails, which I've also posted up. So I think it's, again, it's just an amazing thing to get this glimpse behind the curtain and see some of the things. And clearly, some of them are not related to the science. Some of them are just portraying these people as just human beings who are just nasty and have their moments, like you would find in probably anyone's email correspondence. But then there are others that are pointing to the fact that they know that the models need to be fine-tuned to account for 20th century temperatures and things like that. So definitely there are things going on here that directly bear on the science, just as in the original ClimateGate, and we've already seen the typical Guardian and those types of blogs kicking into overdrive right now to try to cover this up and say that there's nothing to look at, but I think we all know better. So once again, I think we're going to need people's help in getting the word out about this, and on ClimateGate.tv, I'm going to be keeping a daily update of this, and I'm going to be interviewing some guests about this in the coming days on ClimateGate.tv as well, so you can keep stay tuned for that.
Now, did you reference is there something that's still actually on a sort of password lockdown of things that we haven't seen yet?
Yes, that's right. There was a file that includes all of the emails, supposedly. I don't know what all indicates, whether that's all of them within a certain date range or whatever it is, but apparently all of the emails are in this file, but it is behind some sort of encryption, some 256-bit password, which is pretty much uncrackable by computer brute force attacks. So I don't know if this is like some kind of WikiLeaks insurance thing where they have this up their sleeves in case something happens and they can release the password. I don't know what that's really about, but it's there, and no one really knows what's inside it yet.
So again, folks, follow updates on ClimateGate.tv, which of course you have linked off of your main flagship site, CorbettReport.com. And jumping to story number two and jumping to my own MediaMonarchy.com, we'll take a story from the Associated Press and we'll tie in a few other related strands. NYPD says FBI declined to pursue lone wolf New York City bomb plot. U.S. authorities declined to pursue a case against an Al-Qaeda sympathizer accused of plotting to bomb police stations and post offices in the New York area because they believed he was mentally unstable and incapable of pulling it off, two law enforcement officials said Monday to the Associated Press. The NYPD investigators sought to get the FBI involved at least twice as their undercover investigation of Jose Pimentel unfolded. Both times, the FBI concluded that he wasn't a serious threat. The FBI concluded that the 27-year-old Pimentel, quote, didn't have the predisposition or the ability to do anything on his own, end quote, one of the officials said. We'll tie in another one from a few days prior. And an interesting update on this story from ChicagoNow.com asks, who is Oscar Ortega Hernandez and why did he allegedly try to kill Obama? This would be the story going back to Washington, D.C., where this guy allegedly got off, you know, these amazing shots from Constitution Avenue with no one seeing him and no one picking him up at the time. And it ties in with terror drill possibly in Idaho Falls and just other interesting connections and speculations, unfortunately, at this time. But as we've seen the call over the last year that, oh, all the terror is going to be, it's going to be lone wolf. So, of course, that's who they bust, and these are the stories that are kind of trumpeted on the front page. As well, sidebar note, we're about to see the one-year anniversary of our own, you know, Christmas tree bomber here in Portland, Oregon. So I'll see what kind of updates surround that. But I find this interesting that these lone wolf stories were happening all around the 48th anniversary of the original lone wolf patsy, lone gunman Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, November 22nd is the anniversary. And James, you covered this on a recent episode of your daily live radio show on the Republic Broadcasting Network, In Search of Lee Harvey Oswald. And can you tell folks quickly about the researcher that you've talked to?
Right. We talked to Chuck Ocelli, also known as the blind JFK researcher, who has read voluminously on the JFK subject. And he has a YouTube channel where he goes over it on a regular basis. And you can even write in questions and he'll give video responses. So we went over Lee Harvey Oswald and really just, I mean, in 1 hour, you can only begin to scratch the surface of that ridiculous story of who Lee Harvey Oswald was and what he got up to, you know, waltzing in and out of the Soviet Union at the height of the Cold War and all of that kind of stuff, all those shenanigans. But no, absolutely. We've certainly seen this pattern before, and I think it's interesting to see these busts coming now. And I think it's just an obvious diversionary attempt to try to take the heat off of people in Washington who are obviously feeling scorn and venom from all sides of the political spectrum. I think it doesn't matter whether you inhabit the left or the right of the phony political scale. I think everyone's mad at Washington right now. So I think things like these, this constant terror busts and this phony baloney hype and propaganda about these types of things just serves to keep the background level of fear up to a certain point where the people who are at least just watching TV in a zombified state and will believe anything they see will just be maintained in that cocoon of fear that helps them to basically propagate the system and maintain the status quo. So I think people who are watching this probably know better than to even give this much thought. But it is interesting to see they continue doing the same types of things with the same type of mentally disturbed people. I mean, people who probably can't even tie their own shoelaces, but where they're being held up as these exemplars of terror in this new age of phony Orwellian boogeymen.
It's interesting to note that the feds, as it was noted, as the NYPD tried to get the feds involved, you know, twice demurred. I've seen other articles, and again, we'll provide all this, that basically had the feds saying, yeah, but you guys did this weird informant thing, and it's going to be a no good case, like so many of these busts are, with people who have no ability or predisposition to do anything if they hadn't been funded and trained and prodded every step of the way. These things also come, of course, all around the holidays, or at least our Western holidays. And if you've had the misfortune of being in an airport recently or any time, you'll see they'll have CNN or Fox just running constantly on the telescreens. And I actually, I'll note, I did have the opportunity to avoid my first naked body scanner in LAX a few weeks ago. But even then, the television screens were running, you know, nonstop Penn State, you know, child abuse scandal news. And it becomes the backdrop for people when they're traveling or when they're going, you know, to family. And it's these talking points, and it never really, unfortunately, goes deeper other than, you know, the phony partisan bickering between the phony left and right. So, James, what I'm kind of prefacing here and setting up is it here, as I come to you in Portland, Oregon, it's the 23rd of November, just a few hours away from Thanksgiving. And of course, all the travel, all of those things are all only going to escalate, and we hope everyone is safe out there in the world. But we'll move for our third and final story this week to foodworldorder.com. Oregon tops the nation in food stamp use. And we take this from KEZI out of Eugene, Oregon. Oregon has the highest percentage of people on food stamps in the nation. A newly released U.S. Census survey reports 18% of Oregonians said they rely on a federal program for food. Food stamp use in Oregon surged 23% last year and has doubled in the past 4 years. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, says people can't get out of the cycle because of lower wages and continuous unemployment. Quote, if you have a family of three or four and you were getting $17 or $18 an hour, you're now getting $10 or $12. Even if you're employed, you're going to go to the food stamp benefits, said John Radich of the Department of Human Services. In Eugene, Oregon, 82,000 people used SNAP last month. James, and perhaps this last sentence is maybe the key to understanding perhaps why this is happening. The state received an award from the Department of Human Services for providing the easiest access to food stamps. Now, I know my home state of West Virginia is that kind of state that always gets tagged as being, oh, it's, you know, poor people, it's welfare, they're abusing the system. But I know very well that there are a lot of people here in Oregon that I won't go so far as to say, yeah, they're using and abusing it, but they really do lean on it when it's people that I know full well are working and necessarily don't need it. And it's, I think, another case sometimes of people abusing something that's meant, you know, for good for a certain segment of people, and it's the bad apple and it ruins the whole damn thing. James?
Right. Exactly. Well, this is why we can't have nice things, right? No, exactly. That's exactly why these types of government-run, bureaucracy-run welfare programs just fail on every level, from the people at the top who are skimming off at the top of the trough to the people at the bottom who are skimming off and really stealing food out of poor people's mouths by using food stamps they don't need. Again, it's just corruption at every level, and that's human nature. So to expect otherwise, I think, is folly, and that's why I think we have to build communities that are based around voluntarily doing things for other people. And when you know people in your community, you're less likely to pretend to be too poor and stealing food out of other people's mouths. I mean, that just doesn't work at that level. So I think this is just another example of overarching bureaucracy being part of the problem and not part of the solution. But again, it's just a sign of the times, isn't it, that food stamp use is up so much, obviously, because a lot of people are feeling the real pinch of these economic times. And again, that comes from macroeconomic problems that are created by the big boys at the top and the way too much power that is given to these large multinationals and the government that is in their back pocket.
You're absolutely right. James, as we bring to a close this 92nd episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com, I just want to say thanks so much. I believe we've now pretty much crossed our 2-year anniversary of doing these shows. And again, when it gets around this time, and I just, again, want to thank you for all the hard work you do and just, you know, how thankful and appreciative I am that you let me kind of ride along and do these shows, because I really enjoy it.
Well, I thank you for joining us week after week after week and digging up great stories every week. And I'm also thankful that it's a sunny day here in Japan, although I hear it's different in Portland.
It's quite different. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you.